Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Break down the word Father, because when I looked at it, it broke down into two words. The first one was fat. And the second one was her. So there ain't no winning. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you can go ahead and take your seats. It's a funny old day, Father's Day, already this morning in our first service. The presence of God was so amazing, we could have just carried on. And we had, we're dedicated and committed in this ministry to not just do things for ourselves and now, but to leave a legacy and to deposit and invest in people, young people. And this morning, first service, we had a couple of people. We had young Leon, I think he's 13 years old, man. He got up and he could have made an altar call straight away. He was talking about his life and his experiences without a father and stuff, and how God had brought him into his family. And then Pumzili with the same sort of thing. And it was powerful, man. It was really, really powerful. And Anton, the father of the gang, got up and preached an amazing message. And then, with Danielle, amen, and tremendous to see where she's, and I know where she come from, amen. And she was hard work. Just so you know. But now she's a beautiful woman. And you know what? She kind of mothers the other kids as well. It's amazing to see how they, she begins to lead the other kids. And then Martin, well, what can we say about Martin? Number one, he's really old to be in the gang. But he's doing great. So, we really want to honor the fathers. And what I foresee that there's going to be a tremendous move of God on the way in this city, in this nation, in this generation. And you're going to see it from the young people, but also there's going to be a thing with fathers as well. We live in our Western society, we live in a, what they're calling a fatherless generation, where there are so many problems and implications of fatherlessness. And we live in a very individualized society in the West. In the Near East at the time of Jesus, it was a lot more communal. And you see that in other areas around the world. If you go to Indonesia, for example, I don't even think they have a word for private. There's no, you ask them for a bit of privacy, and that means that there'll only 50 people will come around your house. The only private place you've got is the bathroom with the door shut and your bed. Other than that, you'll have 50,000 people walking in your house at any time of the day or night. When I was in the Middle East, it's the same thing. It's all very communal. Your houses are all very communal. People are always in and out. Those of you that come from the continent of Africa, amen, because Africa's a continent, not a country, amen. My brother Archie schooled me on that one. Huh? They have a saying, don't they? It's the village that brings up a child. Right? How many of you have heard that? It's the village that brings up the child. They have that in the West as well. It's normally the village idiot. Amen. But it was very individualistic. And therefore, when the father goes missing, it has a massive impact. Are you with me? Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6 says this. It says, speaking about God, says, Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. But he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Don't you love how honest the word of God is? Amen. It's nothing politically correct about that. If you're with God, you're blessed. If you're not, you're in a sun-scorched land. Amen. But Father, just in these next moments, speak to our hearts and do what it is you want to do in Jesus' name. The creator of the universe is really big on family. He's a community God. He's not just into individualism. Yeah, we have our quiet times and, you know, we can go and be with the Lord and we shut ourselves off and we pray and we get with him and we want a personal relationship with him and we have to have a personal relationship with him. You know, there's no second-hand salvation. You can't have salvation because your mum or your dad or your nan or your granddad was saved. You have to actually have this personal experience with God. You have to personally repent. You have to personally believe. And then you will personally receive. And then you get adopted into the family of God. So there is that personal aspect. But then God is communal. God is about the community, the children of Israel, the church. He's big in it. He's big on that stuff. He doesn't want us to be isolated. Are you with me? He don't want anyone to be isolated. He wants us to be insulated. He's very, very big. One of the first comments he made about man after he created man in Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, he says, "It is not good for man to be alone." Amen. It was Adam that he created from the dust of the earth, and then he created him in the wilderness. He created him in the earth. Then he made the garden. And then he put Adam in it. The garden was all pretty and nice. The wilderness was a little bit wilder. That's why men are a little bit more wilder than women. Amen. Because we were created in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Women were created in the garden. That's why they like nice things and everything's in order and it's pretty and smells nice. Men were created out there with the wild animals and, you know, dirty and rough and leaving their cups everywhere. And, you know, who needs a wardrobe when you have a chair in your bedroom? Amen. Hallelujah. He said it's not good for man to be alone. Because God could already tell that the garden was going a little bit, it was all going a little bit astray, you know. No one was milking the cow and, you know, nothing was happening. He said, so I will make a helper who is just right for him. So God gave man options. He brought all the wild beasts and the birds before Adam. And Adam gave them a name, but he didn't give them his heart. Amen? Because he didn't want to get married to a pig or a dog or a cow or a lion or a monkey. So God created something for him. Finally, God put Adam asleep. And when he woke up, he'd lost something of himself. But he'd gained something he could never have created for himself. He lost a rib, but he gained a wife and a partner. And look what he said. And I know some of you single men in the house, you'll be saying this one day. Genesis chapter 2, I love this verse, verse 23 and 24, it says, "At last," the man exclaimed. How many men in the house that are married right now, you said that, "At last." Yes. How many single men, you're longing to say that. "At last," the man exclaimed. "This one is bone from my bone, flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman. Because she was taken from man and she has a womb." This explains, it don't say that, but I'm just surmising, you know. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife and the two are united into one. It's always God's plan that man and woman should be united to form the basis of a family. Are you with me? And we can see that that family is both natural and spiritual. And this is what I want to look at. The importance of family is that when it works in the way God intended, it is the foundation, not just of society, but of humanity. Family is so important, man. The definition of family from the dictionary is a group consisting of two parents and their children living together as a unit. We understand that's from the dictionary. From the Bible, it's a man and a woman. They're the parents. Living together with their children as a family unit. It says the descendants of a common ancestor, a group of related things. And then it also says designed family, another definition, an adjective, designed to be suitable for children as well as adults. Amen? I like that. Like a family movie. Although some of the family movies that we have these days, I wouldn't let my children watch them. Are you with me? You have to guard, you know, a 12 now. He's an 18 when I was growing up. Are you with me? Madness. Huh? I started watching a little bit of that Straight Outta Compton last night. It was on telly. And after the first 50 cuss words, I turned it off. I couldn't watch it no more. Back in the day, I would have been getting down with that thing. Are you with me? But that shows how much God changes our hearts. Huh? But family. There are two types of family. And today we're going to be looking very quickly at families and fathers. And there are two types, natural and spiritual. Natural family is of the same blood. Ideally, it's when a man and a woman are joined together through the covenant of marriage and they have children, they grow up together and they stick together through the ups and downs of life. And it can be challenging in a family. You know, your brother or your sister can sometimes challenge you. I mean, I have a son and a daughter and they're always fighting. At the moment, my daughter is bigger than my son. And my son, he's got a bit of a right hook on him, but she's got vicious nails. Now, many of you know, that's always been the woman's secret weapon. The pinch. The womanly pinch. How many of you are like a pinching ninja? Huh? Some of you sisters, man, you get them nails, you're like a velociraptor. They're always fighting, they fight about this, but they love each other, but they fight. It's a challenge. And sometimes mum and dad fight. Not in my house, because I'd always lose. It can be a challenge. It can be competitive. And there can be wars. And then there's different generations, and there's different levels. And sometimes it's difficult to know when to fit in. You know, as a young man growing up, you grow up and I have a father. I still have a father. I've always had a father. My mum and dad are still together. Like 49 years they've been married. It'll be 50 years next year they're married. Amen. So I've always had a father. So growing up, it's been, how do I fit in? Because when I go back to my mum's house, I'm a boy. When I come back to my house, I'm the boss. Unless my wife comes back in. I'm the boss when she's out. Amen. Put my feet up, watch whatever I want. Then when she comes back in, it's Holby, casualty, some dramatic emotional drama. About a child that was dropped on its head or something, you know what I mean? She sits there weeping and all that. I'm like, oh, God. All right, love. Natural families can be a challenge. Spiritual families, similar. Jesus showed what it meant to be part of a spiritual family. In Matthew 12, he was there talking to the crowd, and his mum and his brothers stood outside, and they wanted to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and your brother are outside wanting to speak to you. And he replied, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. What you have to understand is Jesus is not speaking against the biological family. He's not saying it's not important. He's not dismissing our mothers and our brothers and our sisters and our blood family. What he's actually doing is making it very, very clear that in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, the most important family connection is spiritual. Are you with me? It's spiritual, not just physical. The spiritual family is also not about ethnicity. You can be black and white and still be in the same family. You know, we watched that video. Wasn't that a heart-tugging kind of video? You know, you got the little Ethiopian guy. You got the little Chinese girl. Amen. And the father already is getting his alibi ready for when she's about 16. Amen. For when he's going to need to deal with the boys that come knocking on the door. And me and Anton was just looking at, because he's got a daughter as well, and I got a daughter. And we were already working out our alibis. For when the boys come knocking, amen, later on down the line, they have a gun and an alibi. But it's not about ethnicity. You can be black, you can be white, you can be brown, amen. And in Victory Outreach, we have all those colours. Huh? We're like Skittles. We're like a church of Skittles, man. In America, it's mostly brown, right? Huh? It's like a choc chip nut cookie. Victory Outreach, mostly brown, a little bit of smooth chocolate and some white nuts. Amen. It's not about gender. Amen. You don't just have to be a man or a woman. You can be a man and a woman that can come into the family of God. It's not about social standing. It's not just for the poor. It's not just for the rich. It don't matter about your history. It matters about your destiny. This is the thing he's saying. Paul says in Galatians 3, he says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ," like putting on new clothes. "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." We got a legacy. You know, there's an inheritance that we have of faith. Because that's about the spiritual family is entered, not through blood relatives. It's entered through faith in Jesus Christ. But it's also the blood of Jesus that enables us to come in. Because Jesus paid for our adoption with his blood. It also, the spiritual family includes different generations and different roles. And you have to learn where to fit in and where to flow. But there's a place for you. But one of the most important roles is that of a father. There was a study by a guy called Ronald Rohner. Study of parental acceptance and rejection at the University of Connecticut. And he said this, he said, "A father's love is just as important to a child's development as a mother's, and sometimes more so." This is a review of about 100 studies between 1949 and 2001. Researchers found that overall, the love or rejection of mothers and fathers equally affects kids' behavior, self-esteem, emotional stability, and mental health. But in some cases, the withdrawal of a father's love seems to play a bigger role in kids' problems with personality and psychological adjustment, delinquency, and substance abuse. For others, the presence of a father's love may do more to boost children's sense of well-being and improve their emotional and physical health. So, no pressure, but it is very important, the role of a father. With natural fathers, we see that when fathers live in the responsibility of their role, judging from that study and what we see in society, we can see that it enables security in children, security in families, and it releases health into society. That's why it's attacked so much. Are you with me? The responsibility of it is attacked. When it's done well, it releases health. When it's attacked and it's eroded, then it can cause all sorts of complications. Someone once said, it is easier for a father to have children than for children to have a real father. Someone else said the same sort of thing in a different way. He said, every man can make children, but not every man can be a father. The thing is that sometimes we see that families break down. Kids go astray. I was one of those kids. How many of you have been a kid that's gone astray? You've gone astray, you've run off, you've done your thing. That happens. Kids break down, families break down and go astray. But unfortunately, sometimes fathers break down and they go astray. Sometimes the weight is too much. Sometimes there's pressure. Sometimes there's circumstances. And in the society that we live in today, you know, the law states that there is a responsibility for fathers to provide welfare, financial welfare for their children, but there's not the same provision for them to have access to their children. And we know that there's complications and there's stuff that goes on. But the responsibility of a father is very, very, very important. And what happens is, when fathers go astray, is that then many people become fatherless. You know, no one's ever fatherless. Everyone's had a father at some stage, unless you are a clone. Amen. If you're not a clone, and that's not Scottish for clown, that's not a Scottish word for someone with a red nose and big long feet, works in a circus, a clone. It's like Dolly the sheep or something, you know. Everyone's had a father, but people become fatherless. And that causes all sorts of problems. So what do you do when you've become fatherless? 21 years I've been serving the Lord. 21 years I've been doing this. 16 years I've been a pastor. And in Victory Outreach, we have some horrible things that we have to deal with and face. We're an inner city ministry. We go for the hurting people of the world. We've heard it all, seen it all, experienced it all. There's nothing that shocks me. I've heard stories that would make your toes curl. We've ministered to people that come from such darkness and blackness and despair that it just makes you go home and weep. What do you do with this? You've got to remember that God loves family. Even if your natural family is broken, God has ordained a spiritual family that you can be a part of. I've got family. My mum and dad are still together. But even someone like me that has a family and has a father, God is so good that he allows me to have two families. Some people are so broken, they need a family, they need a father. Some people have got it all together and they say, I've got a family, I've got a father, I don't need God or leadership. But I had a different perspective. I looked at it and said, God is so good that he gives me double. Huh? My God is good, oh, double, 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 double. Get something and win. Get something and win. Huh? See, you have to understand that he is a good, good father. He understands your predicament, but he is a father to the fatherless. He ain't going to leave you orphaned. He will adopt you into his family. And then what you see is sometimes, not always, but sometimes, there is even a reconciliation. Sometimes he works in you and he works through the situation. And at the same time, he's working with them. That there'll be a reconciliation. He's a father. It's amazing. And he raises up spiritual fathers. If your natural father's gone, he can raise up spiritual fathers. 1 Corinthians 4:15, we've seen it a few times, this scripture says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you do not have many fathers. Paul said, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Spiritual father's got the same type of responsibility, but it's in a spiritual way. Spiritual fathers cover, they lead, they model, they equip, they love. And for a spiritual father, his kids are not even necessarily his own, but the role is there. The facility is there. The accessibility is there. And they're few and far between, man. Because it's demanding and thankless. I think sometimes in the church today, especially in the West, we aim too much for independence. You know, we're taught to be independent, you know. And that means that we cut off and we isolate and we do our own thing. You can be living in a terraced house and not speak to your neighbours either side. Are you with me? Because we're independent. But God don't want us to be independent. He doesn't want us to be codependent. You know, where you're sucking the life out of someone else to meet this gaping need within you. He wants us to be interdependent, where we can give and take. And some of that giving means that we have to give of ourselves and give of our trust. And then we take the blessing of that back. Are you with me? Sometimes we fear, I believe, that if we follow spiritual fathers, you know, that they're just men. And what's the point? Because it was a man that left me last time. It was a man that messed me up last time. Are you with me? And so people don't bother. And then they're left once again, fatherless. Look at what Paul said, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11. He said, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. If there's someone that you can follow that's following Christ, then it's a good bet that even if they fall away, you're still going in the right direction. Are you with me? But God doesn't leave us orphaned. You might be in this place today, you haven't had a father. Maybe your father went off key. Maybe he died. Maybe he's never been there. Maybe you never knew him. Maybe you've grown up with the love of your mother, and mothers are a wonderful thing. Amen. When God was creating mothers, the angel looked at him and said, what are you doing, God? He said, you're taking a bit too long on this one. He said, you know, she's got to have 16 eyes and 9 arms, and she's got to have a lap that is very soft when she's sitting down and completely disappears when she stands up. You know, she's got to be able to exist on 2 hours sleep. you know, go to bed half hour before she wakes up, and she's got to be able to do all these things. And the angel said, how is that possible? What are you creating? He said, I'm creating a mother. Because we know that mums are extraordinary, but they're not dads. They're not dads. And people need that. God gives that facility. He ain't going to leave you. He ain't going to forsake you. He's never going to give up on you. He's always going to cover you. He's got the power to do what you need. He'll provide for you. He will fight for you. He's secure. You know, I'm a man of God. I'll turn the other cheek. But if anyone touched my daughter, I would beat them like a circus monkey. And then repent. Amen. I beat them like a drum. Huh? Like a rented mule. And then I'd repent. That's the love that God has for us. Amen. Truth is that God loves you and he's provided everything that you need. For you, two things I want you to know today. I've kind of sped through the message because of time. But two things I want you to know today. Firstly, for everyone. You never, ever, ever have to feel like you don't belong. That you're an orphan. Or that you're fatherless. Because God has provided a family and he has provided fathers. And then for the fathers, today I want you to know, this is very, very important, very crucial. Today, there's two things you're going to get. As a father, who is under a father, I'm going to commission you, fathers. There's going to be a spiritual impartation of commissioning upon fathers. Some of you might have been fathers for a long time. And you don't need some little whippersnapper like me to come and commission you. But here's the thing, what's going to take place is that there is also going to be permission given. That from today, you're not only going to father your own children, but that you're going to be a model to other fathers. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this place, I know that there have been hearts that have been tweaked and hearts that have been pained today. We've seen the tears already in the first service, and we've seen people wiping tears out of their eyes in the second service, God, because some people are fatherless. They've felt fatherless. Their father is not around, or the father of their children is not around. They either feel it for themselves, or they feel it for their kids, or they feel it for both themselves and their kids. The absence. Well, today, Lord, I pray not to let the father off the hook, but you deal with his heart. But for those people that feel abandoned, lost and lonely, I pray, God, that you would really touch them right now and heal that broken place. That they would trust again and that they would feel your arms around them. They would know, not just in faith, hoping and expecting, but really, tangibly today, know that they have a place, that you are their father. You know the hairs on their heads. You saw them when they were little. You loved them then. You've changed them when they've messed, and you've encouraged them when they're down, and you've cuddled them when they've been alone, and you've picked them up when they've fallen. Lord, I pray that you would bless them again today. Men and women, Some of the men have had no footsteps to follow in, so they've had to look at signposts, and the signposts have been movies and magazines and pubs and clubs and stuff. But God, that ain't enough. I pray that every single man and woman in this place today would understand that today is different than yesterday. That tomorrow is going to be different again. And that, Lord, they have a plan and there is a purpose and there is a place for them. I want you to stand to your feet right now. I want all the fathers to come forward. If you're a father, I'm not talking about even if you're, you know, if you're a father, come forward. Come and stand. You know, right along here. Don't stand in the corners, on the edges. Stand up. Come right across. All the fathers. We're going to pray for you, commission you. Come stand over here. Get in rank, lads. Get in rank. You're warriors. You look like a Celtic rabble. We want to get you in rank like soldiers. Two rows, man. Come on. Make two rows here. Two rows. Get in rank. Get in rank. Rank up. Because you're warriors. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's right. Shuffle over, man. Shuffle over. Make some room. Make some room. Make some room. Make some room. Get in rank. Get in rank. Praise the Lord. See how difficult it is to get men to do anything? Huh? But they get there in the end. I always tell my wife, I'm going to do the chore. I'm going to fix it, you know. Might take me a couple of years, but I'll get it done. Trust me. I've got vision for that thing. Praise the Lord. The reason why I wanted you to do that, guys, is because you have to understand who you are. You have to understand who God sees you as. You're the forefront. You're the warrior that stands in front, protecting your family and protecting their honor. Amen? You have to understand who God sees you as, whether you see yourself like it or not. There's been times as a father I haven't seen myself in any good light. I've seen my weakness and my flaws and my failures and my frustrations. When the kids were awake at 2 o'clock in the morning and I had to get up again and I was tired and where am I? Where's my time? Who cares about me? Ever felt like that? Everyone's there with a mum, cooing over the mum and giving the mum gifts and taking the mum out for coffee and I'm just got to go back out to work. Bring home the bacon. Amen. And you kind of lose yourself. But God says, I understand. Because I do all this for everyone. And how many people stop to thank me? But I am the Father of all creation. I understand, son. Then he wants you to know that you are a provider. But that doesn't necessarily mean you got to come back with the biggest paycheck. He wants something more than money for provision from a father. He wants your presence in the lives of your wife, your partner, your children. You know, the biggest gift, someone said, that you can ever give your kids is that you love their mother. For some of you, I know that that's never ever going to happen again. Maybe you was divorced or split up or stuff, and you know, because this is that type of church. We have people that have come from all sorts of backgrounds. Huh? We understand that. But to your kids, don't diss them, mum. Don't matter how much she's hurt you, or how evil she was. Huh? Because weren't the kids' fault. That's another principle of warriorship. Huh? You provide your presence, not just presence. You listen to them, you engage with them. You speak to them, you wipe their tears when you can. You phone them if you're not able to be there. You remember their birthdays, even if you just give them a card. These things are important. They were important for you growing up, and because you never had them, some of you, you've always felt it. So don't be that. Be what you've never had. Amen. And then also, you're their spiritual covering. You're the roof of their life. Some of us, we act as if we're the ceiling. We limit. We want to guide and we want to protect and we want to limit, but the substance is wrong. The consistency of that is wrong. If you get a ceiling made of plaster and you put it outside in the rain and the howl and the snow, how's it going to hold up? It's not. There needs to be that different consistency, that spirit. And if you're not spiritual right now, and if you're flaky, and if you never really, you know, been that, start being it today. Start being it today. Because if you're not, then one day they're going to become what you hate. Be the example. I want to be the example of my daughter to my daughter, that one day she's going to marry a man that's going to treat her like I think of her, like she's a princess, like she's the best thing in the world. And because she's been around me, that's going to be her expectation, and she's going to spot the fakers when they come in. Amen? And I'm not going to have to kill them. In a manner of speaking. So fathers, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever you haven't done, you're being commissioned to be fathers today. And you've been given the permission to start now. Lift up your hands. The Spirit of God is going to move upon your life right now. Everyone else, I want you to reach out. If you're a woman, you need to be praying for this. If you're a man that is not a father yet, you need to be investing in this. Heavenly Father, we lift up to you, your chosen ones, the warriors. We are but poor imitations of you, O God, but imitate you we desire to do. What you have here are the gatekeepers, the bodyguards, the security, the princes, the champions, the commanders, the frontline fighters. Some of them have been wounded, Lord. Some of them went out of action for a while. But God, today, in this place, in the name of Jesus Christ, I stand under your authority, and therefore I say, receive now the commissioning as men and as fathers, that your children will know and understand that they are covered, that they are loved, that they are provided for and protected, and that they will see this from this day forward in their lives because of your exampleship. Receive that new fresh anointing. Receive that new fresh understanding. Where there has been breakdown in relationship, let there be reconciliation. Where you haven't seen children, where they've gone astray, Lord, just like the father of the prodigal, he never moved, but believed that one day the prodigal would come to their senses and return. And where they have been the prodigal father, may they come to their senses and understand that whatever caused it, whatever started it, whatever the argument was, that they need to lose it in order to win it. Father, bless them right now. In the name of Jesus, bless them, oh God. Come on, just bless them right now. Just stand here, Father. Just receive this blessing right now. Bless them. Come on, bless them. Come on, church, bless them. Begin to speak out your blessings upon their lives right now. Bless the fathers. Bless the fathers. Bless the fathers. Bless the fathers. Bless your own father right now. Start blessing him. He might be gone. He might be with the Lord. He might be gone. He might have died. He might have passed away. He might be no longer there. But thank God for fathers. Hallelujah. And I just want to do one last thing for those of you in this place that, fathers, stay here, man, but if you're not fathers, but that you felt fatherless, you felt as if you didn't belong, there was no place for you, I want to welcome you right now into the family of God. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. But when you believe, he gives you the ability to receive. And you become children of God. If that's you in this place, and you say, you know what, I don't want to feel abandoned. I don't want to be lost. We want to pray for you. Can you sense the Spirit of God in this place? Huh? He's going to father you today, man. It's all right to weep a little bit if you want to. It's all right to shout a little bit if you want to. It's all right to get a few things off your chest if you want to. Just don't stay the same. There's no need. If there's anyone in this place, you say, you know what? I want to enter the family of God today. You've never done it before. Be bold, man. Lift up your hands. If that's you, we'll pray for you. God bless you. Come on, come forward. If you want to come in to the family of God right now, no matter what gender you are, how old you are, come forward if you want to enter into the family of God. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Then let's just all stand. If you want to come forward right now, something's very powerful is happening right here. Fathers, can you sense it? Can you sense it? Hallelujah. I'm just going to let God love you a little bit. Sing a song. If you haven't got a church, if you've come as a guest, if you've visited, then we want to make you welcome into this family. You'll be welcome. We're a bit mad, a bit challenging, but it's going to be an amazing ride. Come on, let's just worship the Lord a minute. Man, I really sense the Spirit of God right now. I don't know about you. Just let him love you a little bit. Let him speak to you a little bit. Let him whisper to you a little bit. Some words of love, acceptance. Oh, he knows my name. Oh,
he knows my name.
He knows my every thought.
He knows my every thought.
He sees.
He sees each tear that falls.
Hears me. You know our name.
He knows my name.
Thank you, Father.
He knows my every thought.
Lord, you see.
He sees each tear that falls.
Lord, he hears me. Oh, everybody, let's sing it one more time. Saying knows my name.
He knows my name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
He knows my every thought.
Glory to your name. Glory to your name, oh God. Oh, sing it for the last time. Sing it for the last time. Lord, you know my name.
He knows my name.
Thank you, Jesus.
He knows my every thought.
Lord, you see. Can somebody say that? Lord, you hear me when I call. You hear me when I call. Lord, you hear me when I call. When we call upon the name, when we call upon the name of Jesus. For the last time, he hears me.
He hears me when I call.
Oh.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.